Welcome to We Watch Too Much TV, the weekly podcast where two real-life best friends dish on all the TV content they've been binging in their remote work-based lives. Babbling about everything from scripted television to reality TV and film, these two besties will immerse you in their quirky universe of streaming. Here are your hosts, Jocelyn and Tanea.
All right, best friend, we're back.
Uncut Gems, we're back. How are you? Happy new week, happy new life, happy continuation of Black History Month.
That's right. It is Black History Month. You better recognize.
I know.
Every day is Black History Month to
every
us.
Every month. How are you? How is life? And every day is Black History Day, no matter how much they might be trying to take it away.
And that rhymed.
Bars. So how are you? How's it going? How's life?
I am feeling extra uber relaxed after coming back from Barbados. It was everything times a million and one. I'm now convinced that I need to take a trip every February, because it's like I've never really taken a trip in February. You know, it's just not a thing I've done in life before. And it's actually very refreshing because it's kind of just right in the middle of just life, everything. You know, the holidays are done and you're getting settled into the new year, but winter is still kind of dragging on. You could already kind of start feeling like in a huff of back into the routine of life. And then boom, Right. Just a little holiday in there. Because let me tell you, in Barbados, do you know who it was filled with? White British.
Black people.
Well, yes. Well, of course, Barbados. Barbados, the natives are the Bajans. It's a beautiful, beautiful Black country with a lot of powerful history tied to America. But as tourists, the tourists are just white British people, particularly old white British people. And they even were telling us at our hotel, they were like, we never get Americans. And if they are getting Americans, they don't look like us. So the purpose of me even going out there on this press trip, which is more, you know, I'm claiming more press trips in my life, more fully expensed excursions around the world. They are wanting more Black people to come to Barbados. And they have a festival that they are launching Juneteenth weekend called FABAFest for alumni by alumni. And it's for HBCU alums. Granted, Tanea, we are not HBCU alums. We went to an unofficial.
Hey, if state universities had HBCU, we went to the Howard of state universities. And I don't care what nobody says.
And that's like, a piggyback.
I tell people I went to Howard adjacent college.
Right. That's pretty much it. So we would still be very immersed in the culture, especially since we're D9. So I can kind of already see what the market that they're tapping into to just get this festival started. And it's just an honor to kind of be a part of the introduction of what this is going to turn into. And they really are wanting more people to visit Barbados, but definitely more Black Americans, because we really have a strong history. That was a part of my experience. I went on a tour and got the history, and it was just powerful. You know, at points I was getting a little emotional because I just really didn't have any idea about how all slaves, like the slaves that were brought from Africa before they were shipped to the Americas or parts of the Caribbean, they stopped in Barbados first and were prepped before they were then sold off, auctioned off to wherever they were going. So a lot of our ties and our roots as just African-Americans are in Barbados, and they still have these buildings where the slaves were. The slavery in the Caribbeans was a little less. I mean, well, granted, the slave code started in Barbados. That's another history fact. Mm. The slave code started in Barbados. So what happened is Barbados is such a small island, and it was just getting overcrowded with all these colonizers coming from Europe. So a lot of them started to leave and settle in South Carolina, which South Carolina was founded by Barbados in the late 1600s. And they were these colonizers that left Barbados to come to South Carolina brought these slave codes with them. So a lot of the makeup of American slavery came out of Barbados as well. So just like learning this history, but then also at the same time being immersed in the culture, because granted, like, you know, slavery existed there as it did in a lot of the Caribbean countries and America, but primarily only really in America were we deprived so much of still being connected to just our Blackness and our history and our heritage, whereas they weren't. So they grew up seeing Black lawyers and Black doctors and Black politicians and Black business owners and being able to know their history and learn it and be able and embrace it. Whereas it's 2023 and we're dealing with states in America that just want to ban CRT, just want to ban actual American history that talks about the realities of Black Americans building this country. They just don't want people to know that anymore. They're taking books out of the library because of that. And we're in America dealing with that. So it's like, it was a reminder that granted, it's like, oftentimes you'll forget because it's like, oh, America's the shit. Like, oh, we could do this. We could start businesses. We can live. We can travel, you know, but even still, just when it comes to your overall just identity as a person and knowing your history as an African-American, there's still, it's missing for us in a lot of ways. So just any little ways where we can kind of get little gems and information of just learning who we are and where we come from, those are always good. And there's a lot of that in Barbados. On top of it, having beautiful beaches, beautiful water, the rum. I took a tour of Mount Gay, which is their rum, the rum, the food, the fish. They got every kind of fish, every kind of fish. If you like fish, if you like seafood, they have it in abundance and it's fresh. It was just everything. It was just so much fun. I can't wait to go back. And then the group I was with, shout out to all the ladies that I was with. It was just like a bunch of like journalists and we just were vibing. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that I got to do this and experience this for free and with just such amazing people. And I just came back feeling amazing and having to catch
and
up.
Yeah, we watch too much TV. We're going to educate you on slavery and travel because we are not just a TV podcast.
Okay.
We're educational podcast.
We're balanced. Okay, we say it every week.
Ballot. Yes, okay. But I'm happy that you had that vacation. Girl, it's good. I was cold on the East Coast.
You was busy too, girl, because I'm on vacation over there looking at your Instagram. I'm like, Lord, my best friend.
Are not going to talk about my Instagram and my close friends here on this podcast. That is not what we're talking about. What we're going
to
do
is not every video made it to the close friends.
I just want to shout out all my actual real friends who had to text Tequila T. That's who Tanea is when she's under the influence. She's not responsible for Tequila T. Tequila T made a mistake. And all my friends was like, abort, abort, abort. Take this down. I was like,
down. Take it down. I woke up to a drunk missed FaceTime call. DM. Hey. Let me just say, I wasn't the only one having a good time. Last week.
Okay. I don't need an island to be with myself.
Okay. Tequila T was out here in these streets.
Okay. Not today. Today was off the clock. Tequila T was up. All right. Now let's start with your weekly grab, best friend. What you want to start with first?
Okay, so I'm going to finally start with White Lotus because you have been telling me to watch it.
Yes!
I took my sweet time with watching the Whitey White Lotus because that was the first thing that stuck out to me was how Whitey White it was. And I still do have a grudge against HBO for canceling Lovecraft Country.
And Legendary! We really need to start the petition.
Oh my God. So after seeing them cancel two amazing Black shows, I was not here for no damn White Lotus. I did not care that Stifler's mom was in it. I didn't care. I just saw an entire white cast and I didn't care. But it was one of our friends, Patrice. Her and I follow each other on Twitter and it's like we typically watch the same show. So when I started seeing her talk about White Lotus, I was like, girl, is it worth a watch? Because it's really white. She's like, it is white. She was like,
it's a really good show though.
Yes. And that's what she said. She was like, it's really good though. I was like, okay. Then we started this podcast and then you said it. So I was like, okay, I'll give it a watch. So I started season one and it was a slow start. But what was intriguing me with the storyline in season one was as wide as it was, I saw that they were still tackling these conversations of like white privilege and even just like not even about like race of assholes, like just asshole in general, like you suck as a person. And they really kind of get into the characters in that way. And it's reflective in ways, but also for me, y'all know I love my reality television because I just like to judge people. It's the perfect show to judge people. So by the time then it picked up by the middle of season one, Armand, shout out to Armand. Oh my gosh. Like he just turns it up because it's like, he starts off the show as this classy hotel manager. And by season's end, he is sniffing coke and eating ass and not caring.
Spoiler alert. If you haven't watched
it, I'm sorry.
Spoiler alert.
Sorry, spoiler alerts, major spoiler alerts, because I don't know. I don't have no filter. So then by the season finale of season one of White Lotus, I just was like, oh my gosh, I couldn't believe it. Like, I couldn't believe it. What he did to the guy's suitcase really cracked me up. And then just kind of seeing like the twist of all the storylines and then getting it where I would see these conversations about White Lotus before I was watching it. Like, what is it about? I truly can't really tell you what it's about, but I would say that it really just digs into the flaws of people, which
yes, you know, that's how I took it. I think I took it as it's a place where people meet and they go on vacation and you just get into their lives. But I think the common theme is every year and season, it'll be new people at a White Lotus, but hashtag justice for Tanya. That's all I'm gonna say.
Which one is Tanya?
Jennifer Coolidge.
Oh, okay. So now we can talk about Jennifer Coolidge because everyone is just like, the way I saw it prior to watching the show, it's just like, everyone's like, oh, she's so amazing. She does so amazing in this show. So it's like, okay, I'm like watching the show to see like, okay, is Jennifer Coolidge giving us something that Jennifer, like, you know, cause it's like, the most we really know is Jennifer Coolidge is Stifler's mom. And it's like, she's never really been known as like this like renowned actress. Now, granted, I still I do think it's kind of weird in a way, but I feel like Tanya is a derivative of Stifler's mom. Like, this is who Stifler's mom became 30 years later. Her character was so insufferable through seasons one and two. And it's just so unfortunate at the end of season two, how it ended and knowing that that asshole, you know, ended up with her money, you know. But at the same time, I didn't get, if you go back to season one, he literally just said it. Like, she went berserk trying to just show him her true identity that she's knucking butts. And he goes, I still want to fuck you. Mm. Those were his exact words. And you chose to marry this man and share your life fortune with this man. And all the signs were there. All the flags were there. But at the end of the day, it's like you're seeing like this. She's a hot mess. Like, even how she's treating her assistant. But it's just like the twists and turns of the show. Someone told me that I was just in Barbados with. They told me that they like season two better than season one. I don't know. I kind of still like season one, but that's just how good the show is. Like, it's really, I do look forward to the next season. And I do like, okay, season two, they were in Italy. So we got to see some Italians. But again, we need some diversity up in this White Lotus.
I want you to go on YouTube and watch the SNL skit called Black Lotus. It is so real.
Okay.
It is so
I'm gonna watch.
You're gonna laugh your ass off because it's literally like what it would happen if Black people were actually in the show. You can tell.
Yeah,
none of us in that show.
Right. I mean, now granted, even that is still real in the sense, like, I mean, like I just said, I was just at a nice resort in Barbados. We were the only Black people, and the resort goers there were looking at us like, how are y'all here? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, wow.
I'm sure of the White Lotuses in the world, there aren't no Black people there. It's just it's a reality. So they're probably just doing that. But at the same time, it's not even just about having black people. Like, we just need some diversity up in here because people, when you're watching something, you just want to be able to relate to it on a deeper level. And it's like, it's 2023. I'm just so tired of, granted, we know the industry is run by white people, but can y'all please just stop showing it in everything? Like, just diversify the pot, please. Y'all are not the only ones watching these shows. So everyone who watches it, Asian, Spanish, everybody wants to feel represented. Just so please, please, please diversify the pot. That's all I'm saying. But White Lotus is an amazing show. Yes.
Mic drop to White Lotus. And Mike White, who is the creator. one show that I have been watching and caught up to, which I definitely was not like a fan of recently because it just got too just scripted, but I love this concept, is Love and Hip Hop Reunion, Family Reunion.
Okay.
I think they should just get rid of all the seasons. I think get rid of Atlanta, get rid of New York, get rid of Miami, just give me the Love and Hip Hop reunions because it's everybody we love. I also would love to see just Jimmy, Chrissy, and Mama Jones on their show. I love them, the original OGs of Love and Hip Hop. Right. I met Jim Jones one time about 15 years ago. He was really nice and offered me some weed, and I was like, no, thank you.
That's nice. Very nice.
What I like about this show and this season is that it's less about fake storylines,
right,
of like trying to make people not get along. And some of these people really don't get along based off of their relationships with each other outside of the show. But the best thing to me besides Chrissy is just like the dawn of that show. Like, she gets so much respect. And when she says things, people really listen. But Shekinah, You need to get punched in your face one time. And I don't wish you know what? Let me not say that. Ooh. You need a Yanla to fix your life, because I don't wish violence upon anybody.
Yes. But
because your approach to people is so aggressive. Mm-hmm. And the way you just don't know how to talk to people, mm-hmm, and you want to get loud but think it's not loud. Like, you don't have decorum. So I don't want to wish you anything but healing and a Yanla to come get at you, because Lyrica definitely did smack her because she mentioned her mother out of nowhere. They were arguing and she was like, well, your mother's a one hit wonder. What does that have to do with me?
Like, you don't, that's like just me. Crossing the line.
It's annoying. I love, they had a really good conversation, the Black men on the show. So it was Chaotic, who I never heard of before the show. It was Gunplay, who I think I've heard of once before the show. Yes. It was Scrap, who I love. It was Fresha, who I never heard of before the show. They were talking about men and mental health, and the scene definitely made me tear up. You had all these Black men talking about how their mental health is real. You had Chaotic talking about how he got shot 19 times. He didn't want to live. He wanted to kill himself purposely. You got Scrap talking about the effects of going to jail so young and listening to men get their manhood taken in rooms next to him, and the mental effect that that has on him, and how, you know, Fresha just really wants to be a successful Black guy. And so I really love that they're showing these hard rappers or men in the entertainment industry be vulnerable and talk about mental health, because I want more of our Black kings to talk about that. And they also, I'm just tired of Safari. He's on every damn friend. He caught COVID, so he really didn't do nothing. He came and then he got COVID, so he didn't hang out with nobody. But can not we just give Safari to be the there rest? He didn't need to be there. Like, he just was something extra. It was so good without Safari. I love the themes. Oh, this is my last take. Fresha, baby. So Fresha and Jen have been together 15, 16 years. Mm-hmm. Had kids young. They're engaged. She wants a wedding. He wants to take her to City Hall. She keeps saying, I'm not a City Hall bitch, and this is my thing. Fresha, right, you don't got to give her a $1 million wedding. You could give her a wedding hall. You could give her a nice church wedding. Why you want to go for either $1 million or City Hall?
Right.
There's a medium. There's a way you can give that woman a nice wedding and a nice venue that's within budget. But for you to not even listen to her ideas and give her a budget, and you just want to take her to City Hall, but you want to ask this girl to move to Atlanta? Nah. I ain't with you, Fresha. I mean, you need to freshen
up that attitude. The clip I saw, it seemed like she was asking for a really expensive wedding, though. I don't know.
I didn't peep what she was asking for. All I saw was that she wanted a wedding, and he said the type of wedding. So I think they didn't go into like how much she wants. Does she have like a budget? He was just like, no, let's go to City Hall. I just think that's a big jump. Like, not $1 million. I'm going to take you to the courthouse. Like, where is the happy medium? So I'm going to email Jen and Fresher some wedding venues in the tri-state area.
Yeah, they can always, like, the thing with weddings, you can make it whatever you want. You don't, like, don't pressure yourself that it has to be just this glam. Like, it's crazy how people make these visions that break the bank. You can't really afford it. And for something that it's literally just one day, a few hours out of one day, because your wedding can't last all day. You literally get the venue for about 6 hours. So do not put yourself in debt for a 6 hour event. Don't. It's just not.
And it's like you do all that stress for a second. So I think they should do a wedding, but I'm just like, why are you going from $1 million to courthouse? You could do a church wedding. You could do a beach wedding. You could do something outside. But he's like, no, I don't want to spend no money. Let's go to City Hall. All right, bro. You know they paying you over there at VH1.
Right.
I
stopped keeping up with Love and Hip Hop, but I was watching the reunion at the start. And I've seen clips kind of like how you are with, wait, what was the show I was watching that you were
Love and Marriage Huntsville? Because I refuse to watch that one, but I watch all the YouTube clips when you talk about them.
Such a good show. But yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with loving hip hop now. But I do like the family reunion dynamic, like even just seeing the scenes between Scrappy and his mom and like just the real conversations that they're having on the family reunion one.
Ooh, another show idea. Let's do a KK and Mama Jones dating show like they tried to do with Tokyo Toni.
Oh, that would.
But not on Zeus.
That would actually be not on Zeus. Yeah, not on Zeus.
I think a KK and Mama Jones dating show would be cute. I would watch it.
That would actually be cute. Right. I'm rooting for that. I'm rooting for that. All right. Well, the show I've been watching, of course, is Love After Lockup. I watched the last episode. You know, I was in Barbados, so I had to catch up literally like yesterday. And this past episode, it was funny because see, Derek is now opening up and he's telling us, you know, that he talks to other women. And it's exactly what I was saying to you. Because remember, you were like, I feel sorry for Derek. And I was like, I don't, because I know.
You was like, I don't. You saw it right through it.
Like, yeah, like he's doing, you know, at the same time, I commend him for dating Monique, because it's like, he's going to be loyal to her for the loyalty she showed him while he was down and out and nobody else was there for him. And he probably, you know, he knows, like, you know, like, be realistic, you know, like Monique is not out here. Don't got a long line of guys probably trying to take her serious in that way. So it's like he's being with her and giving her that and satisfying her desire in that way while still doing him. I just don't know how long it's going to last, but I mean, it's still lasting. They are still going strong. Monique just posted pictures.
Well, look, Miss Neek is like, this my man.
They just did a photo shoot.
Oh, so it's like, I saw it. I was like, this looked like a mother and son. Yes. I'm sorry. Yes. It just looks like a mother and a son.
And then, okay. And then I'm horrible with names. I just kind of know the faces, but the one couple, I think her name is Ashley and she just got out, and the guy they had been dating before, they was in a halfway house, and then they got in trouble and then she went back to jail. So they had been dating long distance while she was in jail. You know the one I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yes,
I know. And then her friend went to like the salon and had like fun time or something.
And he's overpossessive. He's so insecure. It's just the red flags are so, so evident. And it's like scary red flags. Like she has to get away from him because I could see him hurting her or hurting someone over her. Like it seems like a real loose cannon. I'm just being honest. He looks like he needs therapy and probably some medication to help control stabilize his thought pattern, because you can tell that he is very hard on himself. And in him being hard on himself, he just becomes a complete dick to all and everyone that's around. He's blurting out N-words like, boy, you over here blurting out N-words like, you, like, hello. Read the room, bro. Like, you're not in prison. And I'm sure if you was in prison, I don't think you would be flinging around the N-word like that if you was about to fight somebody, because you know you would get dealt with. So
you wouldn't do it in anywhere around any place that unless the place you've been. Like, people get comfortable with that. So, like,
yeah. So I just found that interesting. And then the other chick that be crying all the damn time. Oh, I think her name's Ashley.
We need to make a meme of her.
She ain't got no money. Girl, you ain't got no money, girl. You is a hot mess. And the fact that now the guy that just came out of prison is looking like the sensible one of the relationship, I was not expecting that.
Think about all the money that she spent sending to him in jail, knowing you didn't have that money, baby. Why would you do that?
And then still talking about, oh, this was money to get my nails done. Girl, you ain't got no money. You ain't getting your nails done. You had to paint your own nails? Chow. Oh, and
you better paint them nails. You better buy them clip-ons at CVS.
I do want to say I like Cameron and Eris. Okay, so first of all, Justine and Michael are my favorite couple on the show. I'm actually
love them. I want to buy his EP. Let me know when it's out.
I really do like them. So they're my favorite couple. But I like Cameron's family.
Mm-hmm.
He has such a supportive family. You can see, like, they were the only family that embraced his wife that they just came out of nowhere. You know what I'm saying? supported him saying that he's marrying this girl that he just got out of jail. He's like, I'm getting married tomorrow. They were like rooted for him, went to the wedding, and they're offended that Eris wouldn't come to the house for a welcome home party for him because it was, she said, because it was the day after the wedding. Girl, so what? This is his family. You just married into his family. This is how you could represent yourself. You had your daughter there. That was the perfect opportunity. And honestly, his family looks cool as hell.
Yeah. And that's when you're supposed to get to know them. That was the perfect opportunity to break bread, get some drinks with mom, and help with the sister and the brother. You've asked me supposed to break bread.
Even her 9-year-old daughter was like, you're not going to go to the party? Like, what is wrong with you? You should have took your daughter and got to know. Like, that would have just helped break the ice. So now, with her not going, of course, that's going to create an unnecessary rift. And we're seeing the start of that. But again, I'm just, my only shout out was to Cameron's family. I love seeing just supportive, happy Black families because Black people are awesome. We are so much fun. Okay.
Legit. And then shout out to them for supporting him and this random person he want to marry the day after jail in that red suit. You better go, player.
Yes. And then they had the cutout of the father. It was like, oh.
I was like, that is so cute. So we're going to send them some good
vibes. Positive vibrations.
My favorite show is back, Harlem, on Amazon Prime. Did you watch it?
Not yet.
Okay. I won't give away too much if you plan on watching it, but I really do like it. I feel like if you're going to be on a streaming network, please don't give me, especially if you're more than 6 episodes, just give me all my 10 episodes. First season, they gave you all 10 at one day. Now they want to give you one. They gave us 2 and then they're going to give us 1 every week. No, give me the whole story. Don't do that this time. That's my only complaint, but it's just so realistic. Right. Besides where they live and the amount of money they pay, I don't know how realistic that is. I don't like how they keep showing these beautiful places in Harlem that don't exist because me and my friend were looking them up this weekend like, oh, we can't go there. That's not a real place. But the storyline, yeah, like, can you use something that we actually can go to? Like this plant store, like, does exist or like create it. But I love the storyline of Quinn. Quinn is kind of figuring out her sexuality. And I love the realness. Like, she had a crush on a girl, but without giving too much, the girl's kind of not into her. And she is like a lot of women who thought that it would be easier or better with a woman, not knowing that is 20 times more stressful. Wow. So I just like the reality of like them not saying, oh, look, she's a lesbian now and she's in love. That's not how it works. That's not how real it is. I am rooting for Ian, played by Tyler Lepley from P-Valley. We love us some Ian. He's just a really good guy. But I just like that. Oh, we're also rooting for Ty, the lesbian in the show, but I think they're non-binary in real life. They are just talking about not being able to create loving bonds. They are a hoe and they sleep with a different girl every other day and they can't get close to somebody. But when they were young and lived in a small town, they married a guy. The guy is like, well, we're still legally married and now you're rich because I think they created like an app. And the guy is trying to like self-sabotage them because he's like jealous. But I just love the arc of just showing that there are some single people out here who really struggle with connection, who really struggle with bonding and like a healthy, stable relationship. So much love to Harlem. Stop trying to play me with just 2 episodes and an episode every week. Just give me all my damn 10.
Well, I haven't started the new season yet, but just based off of season 1, them putting the whole season out there, it was to see how well received it would be. And clearly by them now putting it out once a week, it shows that it's being well received because Amazon Prime does do that. My other show on Amazon Prime that I love, The Boys, that show, I think when it first starts, they'll give you 2 episodes. And then after that, you got to wait week after week. And we all do it because it's such a good show. And honestly, I like it because that's the how our TV originally was. I do enjoy binging, but I really enjoy being able to enjoy a show throughout a season and just kind of go on the journey with the show. You know, don't give it all to me at once. Kind of, you know, making, you know, follow the cookies to the kitchen, you know?
Listen, yeah, and it's too much TV. See what I did there? So I just like to binge all of it at once and then go to my other
show. So I haven't watched it, but some of the ladies in Barbados did and were kind of just saying some of what they felt like some things are kind of being forced, like certain conversations, especially with us being in this woke day and age. and people are kind of getting a little tired of it, where it's kind of being forced into scripts of like, oh, we have to tackle police brutality. We have to, like, I don't know exactly what.
Oh, I could see that.
But they're saying like that is taking place in season two. But that kind of brings me, it wasn't even on my weekly grab, but we didn't talk about it. We didn't talk about you people. And we got to talk about you
people. We have to talk about you people. Let's talk about how you felt.
A-N-N-O-Y-E-D with everything. The casting, the jokes, the casting, the Kenya Barris. I'm not.
What did you spell best friend? I'm sorry. All I heard was E-D.
A-N-N-O-Y-E-D. Annoyed. I was annoyed from the, I laughed at like the jokes in the first like 10 to 15 minutes a little, you know, because it's been a while since I've, you know, we've seen Jonah Hill, and Jonah Hill is funny. But overall, and I was trying to give the movie a chance. I mean, from jump when they announced the movie and the casting, I already was just like, huh? But I was still trying to give the movie a chance. Right. But then after watching the movie, I'm like, this is just horrible on so many levels. I get it. Now, what I got from Jonah Hill, you know, I watched a little of like some of his other stuff where he like the 90s or whatever. So you get the sense of who Jonah Hill is, right? Like he is that kid. He's a Jewish, he grew up Jewish kid, but he likes hip hop. Like he grew up appreciating hip hop culture. I get it. But I just kind of feel like there was a part of Jonah that kind of wanted to fulfill this fantasy of being able to be with a Black woman in a movie. And this was his chance. And then Kenya Barris, because I read it, you know, I'm a journalist. I have to write about these things. Kenya Barris like begged Lauren London to be in this movie. She didn't want to do it. She didn't want to take the role. He begged her. He said, no, you have to do this role. Why? Why does she have to do this role? This was not her role. Lauren London is not Amira. I definitely could have saw so many other beautiful Black women play this role. Even beautiful Black comedic women. Issa Rae, Yvonne Orji. The list goes on. There's so many other women that probably even would have fit this role better. We love Eddie Murphy. Eddie Murphy is a legend icon. Okay, but Eddie Murphy is not a Hotep. And he just doesn't play one very well. And so it just wasn't coming off organic. I think even Mike Epps played the uncle, but I even think Mike Epps would have played Eddie Murphy's role a little bit more funnier, because Mike Epps could kind of tap into that a little bit better just off of who Mike Epps is as a person. Charlie Murphy, God rest his soul, that would have crushed that role. Charlie, that was more of a Charlie Murphy-esque, like I'm just talking about the gusto of the Black right. man for that role. Then Nia Long technically was what, maybe 12 to 14 years old when Lauren London was born. How was she her mother? It just wasn't adding up when it came to just the casting. I do think that Jonah Hill's parents were casted well. The lady, Julia Dreyfus, from Seinfeld, she was really funny in it. But at the end of the day, everything, when we talk about forced, what some people were saying about the season of Harlem, every joke was forced. Everything was forced, even to the point with the, every time Julia Dreyfus, first she burns Eddie Murphy's kufi, and then the end, she pulls off Carisha's wig by accident. It's like, why are y'all trying to force these jokes? Then at the engagement party, oh my God, at the engagement party, when Julia Dreyfus goes up to Lauren London and says like something, another tone deaf comment. At this point, she's been dating your son how long, right? Y'all should have been around each other, already have bonded to some degree, had some level of respect. You mean to tell me at an engagement party, that is what a mother-in-law is going to say? No, it's not. It's not realistic. They forced so much, even forcing Lauren London in this role, which is why they had to force that joke about Nia Long having a white granddaddy. This your white granddaddy coming back to haunt me. Ooh, no, like everything was just, I'm sorry. It was such a disappointment. It was such a disappointment. I think Jonah Hill co-wrote the movie with Kenya Barris. I think he should have just remained as a co-writer and cast someone else in that role. If they really wanted Lauren London in that role, they should have cast someone that she had chemistry with. You know, a chemistry test? It should have been that. They had no chemistry to the point where they had to CGI their kiss at the end. The one kiss that they shared.
I liked it. I don't like that Kenya Barris had to do the airplane scene. I don't think you need to be in everything you write. It made no sense for you to sit on the plane next to Eddie. I hated that part. I didn't mind it. I just felt like I could see that happening in real world. But I do, watching like his stuff. I think the only thing that's so not predictable about his stuff is Grown-ish. Like, I still watch Grown-ish. I love Grown-ish. To me, it has its own voice, and I can tell that the writer's room is completely different. I do agree that a lot of it just seems kind of forced, but I liked it. I thoroughly like enjoyed it. I chuckled, but I also like that. I think I would have hated it a lot more if Jonah Hill didn't write some of it. Like, I could tell Kenya Barris had help. Like, I think the jokes I liked were the ones that, first of all, I'm sorry. I love David Duchovny. His obsession with Exhibit had me on the floor.
Yeah.
And Exhibit was born in California.
Right.
Like,
right.
He, to me, was a comedic relief more than, like, Eddie Murphy. I get what you're saying about him trying to play, like, the straight and narrow. That, like, Lawrence Fishburne would have been better at that.
Yes, Lawrence
And then
Fishburne.
Maybe for the mom, you could have did a Jennifer Lewis, you know, or maybe somebody who's half white and half black. Like, I can't remember her name. Y'all gonna kill me. It's okay, but
the one who's on SNL, she would have been funnier. Maybe they couldn't afford her.
Maya Rudolph. Oh my gosh.
That would have been perfect.
That would have been perfect because she actually is biracial.
The casting was off tremendously.
And I honestly do feel like Lauren was probably uncomfortable from a physical standpoint.
Yes.
Touching somebody, kissing somebody, like
even being close. I mean, probably, yeah, with everything, but I'm sorry. I do think if Jonah Hill looked like Channing Tatum, it probably wouldn't have been as hard.
Yes.
But I just think there was just no chemistry, no attraction there. It was clear as day. And I just, again, in a realistic setting, I just would never, when do we ever see a Lauren London with a Jonah Hill? Like, you'll see it.
We don't know them yet. Well, I've been seeing a lot of TikTok couples who look like a Lauren, like you see a Lauren Hill bad girl and you see this wow guy, but they are taking this love from these men who want to give it to them. Okay. One girl was like one girl stitched a video, like people think that I shouldn't be, like somebody commenting about like Lauren London, Jonah Hill, and she was beautiful. Her husband was handsome, but you would not put them on your bingo board of being together. But, okay. You know, I'm just here for employing Black people.
Right. And it's nice to see Lauren London back.
Yes.
There are a ton of talented Black actresses out here looking.
Yeah, and I don't know why you have to beg somebody.
Right. Looking and waiting for an opportunity that align completely with that role of Amira. Completely. So... yes, I'm rooting for everybody Black too. And there's a lot of people Black that's still not getting they just do because Lauren Hill is being begged to be in a movie where the casting is completely off.
Lauren London, because I don't want people to think Lauren Hill's doing
Did I say Lauren Hill?
You said Lauren Hill. They're going to be like, Lauren Hill.
That thing. Well,
anything else you want to put in your weekly grab?
Oh, and just shout out to Southside on HBO Max.
That show is hilarious. I had
fell off and stopped on season 2, episode 2 from like last year. And then I just picked it back up because when I started watching White Lotus and it popped back up and I was like, oh my gosh. And I've been watching it. It's just so funny. That show
is hilarious.
Funny.
I think I only saw the season premiere, but the cop, I cannot think of his name, and the Good wife night. Being in the cult.
Good night. Yes. That show is hilarious. It's just like the jokes are just, it's like The Office meets.
Like in Living Color.
Yes.
That's exactly what it is. If The Office was in Living Color, it's very fun. And it's very real. The one with the guy had the bed bugs and he the one.
Yes. Or with like the Jordans, when the Jordans came out and it was.
Oh my God. They stopped everything for them Jordans.
The Jordans. Like, it's hilarious. So I love that show. Shout out to Southside. We need to make sure they get a season 3 so everybody supports Southside. And that
I'm gonna catch up now that you said that. I'm going to make that a part of my weekend.
It's a really good, because you know, each episode is only like 20 minutes. So it's just a good one to watch, like when you just want a quick laugh. You know, another one that's actually really funny? The Upshaws on Netflix. I don't know if you watched that.
I couldn't get into it after the first episode. I'm going to try again.
That shit is because honestly, I never was one to laugh at sitcoms. The jokes never landed. Just back in the 90s, it was the thing to do. The 90s and the early 2000s, it was the thing to do. So I just did it. But I very rarely, other than Martin... there was no sitcom show where the audience, you would hear the audience laugh that ever made me laugh, ever. Mm-hmm. I don't really laugh at sitcoms. The jokes are just kind of dry to me. But The Upshaws, it's funny. And mostly because Mike Epps and Wanda Sykes are hilarious. They're just naturally hilarious. So the jokes land are, I'm sure they're probably improv-ing in a lot of ways. And it's just, it, especially them two, because, you know, Wanda Sykes plays Kim Field's sister. So, you know, Wanda Sykes is his sister-in-law. He can't stand, they can't stand each other. And it's just, it's so funny. But also the storyline is realistic. Like, you know, they're not making a lot of money. At times, Kim is suspicious of Mike cheating on her. He even might be even entertaining women in ways that he shouldn't, because he's trying to sell cars, because he's a car seller. He runs a mechanic shop and he sells cars. Then also, like, they have a blended family. So her oldest son is from a previous marriage and he's coming out the closet. And then Mike Epps' oldest son is from his previous relationship. And then his baby mama is a hot mess. And she just be coming and dropping her son off at the house when she just want to go out to the club. And so it's like, it's for me, like, as a Black, that's real Black family stuff. Like, this is real Black family dynamics on top of it being actually funny. So I haven't, you know, I don't binge the Upshaws, but that's one that I'll put on if I'm working or something, and I just want a quick little laugh, the same way I would put on Southside. Shout out to the Black comedies out there.
I gotta add that to my weekend watch, because I was also told to add Jenny in Georgia. Shout out Darnie, because she's like, you need to watch Jenny in Georgia and The Crown, because my obsession with Meghan and Harry. Shout out to
for
Danny.
You, yes, for
I need
you,
to watch The Crown. So I promise, guys, before we get to episode 10, I will watch these two shows.
You start The Crown, because I had to check out of The Crown because it's just too slow and too white. And I would much rather just watch a documentary on the same thing. But at the same time, it's still the way the show puts a lot of it in perspective. I stopped at season one. I think I kind of might have made it to season two. I can't even really remember. But it's just too slow for me. And then what was the other one you just named that you said you're going to watch? Oh, Ginny and Georgia. I started Ginny and Georgia. I will say that I've been passively watching it, so I haven't really dug into it. But what I have seen, I can see why people like it. It's just still not hitting me in where everyone's like, oh, Ginny and Georgia, you know, so it's not hitting me the way I like. Once I saw White Lotus, I was like, okay, I get it. With Ginny and Georgia, I'm still like, okay, I don't get it. But also I'm still very, very early into the first season. So I have ways.
And here we watch too much TV. We want to give everybody a chance. We're going to try, but we might not hit. And that is okay. We accept each other's differences.
That is right. And now we are moving on to the hot topics.
That's my sizzle sound.
Yes. Okay, so of course, we are going to get into Boren Dixon and the cheating scandal. But before we do, because we already know that's going to take up a lot of time, we got to talk about Brandi Glanville and Caroline Manzo. It came out last week that they both left early of filming season 4 of Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip. And it was first said that Brandi was planting unwanted kisses on Caroline. Everybody was already calling her out from there, because it's like she always just is known for just doing too much. But now more details have come out that Brandi was touching Caroline's chest and genitalia area. And it just made her feel extremely uncomfortable. So Caroline decided to leave. And then they just told Brandi, you got to go. You know, and Bravo ended up releasing a statement about the safety of their cast members. At this point, it's pretty clear. I don't think Brandi will ever come back, ever be invited back. She has crossed the line on too many occasions. For those of us that are familiar with her, have watched Real Housewives of Beverly Hills from the early seasons, we have seen her make racist statements about Joyce Gerard, if you can remember that, saying, oh, you can't swim, you're like Black people. Remember that? Yep, she did. That was in like season 3. She pushed Kyle Richards. That was when Brandi was getting in between Kim and Kyle and their sister Riff. And at one point, Kyle was just trying to go talk to her sister and Kim was walking away and Kyle's just like going towards her. And Brandy's like, leave her alone. And she's like, I want to talk to my sister. And Brandi said, leave her, and pushed Kim, like Kyle, pushed her kind of down the steps. You know, Kyle's ass started crying. But at the same time, got physical. And then I think the following season, you saw Brandi literally smack the shit out of Lisa Vanderpump. Granted, the shit was funny, but it was like, she crossed the line. It was like, wait, did she just smack Lisa? Like, she smacked the shit out of Lisa Vanderpump. And she has constantly been invited back. Constantly.
And that's the thing with, I think Brandy could be good TV if she just knows her like level. Cause she's good at like speaking her mind, but you gotta stop invading people's personal space. Right. You gotta stop kissing and touching on people because that's what you do. Like you gotta stop doing, and Kat, first of all, you must not have watched New Jersey, because if you've I'm still on season 8. I'm catching up. I promise y'all, I'm gonna catch up to season 13. It's just a lot of TV. I could tell from the first 2-3 seasons that one person I don't want to mess with is Caroline mother-loving Manzo. She looks like the old Italian mob wife that'll cut your throat, and if she won't do it, she's gonna get her husband's people to do it. So, Brandy, why would you... First of all, also want to talk about how Peacock got us talking about season 4 and season 3 ain't come out yet. I don't know how good that is for promotion, because I don't even care about season 3 no more.
What happened to season 3? That's so
it
weird.
It still hasn't come out yet. They done filmed it. Why would you, I think, like, I just don't even want
to. They
want to
scrap it? Like, that's weird.
I don't know. They're not going to scrap it. I just don't think that they thought something would happen on season 4 to make everybody talk about season 4 before season 3 even came out. I also want to note that Ebony K. Williams said that there should be one with one season, people. I love that.
Yeah, I like that idea.
I would love to see her, Shamari drunk behind. Mm-hmm. I want to see from Roni, Aviva with the leg. I want her leg to come back out. I would like to see maybe from Atlanta. What was her name? Oh, Claudia was good.
Yeah.
The one who kept talking about the I can't remember their names. I would like that a one season thing.
That would be a good, I'm here for that. That's actually a really good idea. But they still need to come out with season 3, because that one had Portia, Giselle.
Candace and Giselle had a really, really big
Mia McSweeney. Like, I want to see what happened. Like, what was talking to, what did they talk about? You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah.
I think they're going to release it probably soon so people can stop talking about season 4.
Right. They need to, yeah, because at this point, like, what's going on? But baby girl. But anywho, let's go on to the next hot topic. I will let you go because, you know, I don't even know. I could say a lot, but we're going to, I'll just give the synopsis. Robin Boren Dixon.
You got to call her Starless Robin Dixon. Even
Starless Robin Dixon. Hater,
no shade.
This all happened during our little hiatus break. So last week, as I was arriving to Barbados, it came out that Boren Dixon took to her podcast with Jizzy Giselle and owned up to the fact that Juan cheated on her in 2020 with this girl, that receipts came out about this girl. Did we talk about that? I feel like we talked about the receipts. I feel like
not in detail.
We mentioned it. Yeah, we had mentioned it. So it was going around. It was going around about this girl with receipts of a hotel receipt that Juan paid for it and da 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 da. So I granted, a lot of people thought it was probably fake. It just was the girl clout chasing. Boren came and confirmed the allegations by taking to her podcast and clearing the air and saying, yes, Juan paid for the hotel, but it was only because the girl lost her wallet. She was coming to see, like, it was, oh my Lord, just everything Robin said to defend her husband for the second time. If everybody's just like, this is crazy. Then she makes you pay $5 to go on her Patreon to tell the full story that she didn't share on season 7, even though she was asked multiple times about her husband. It was brought up multiple times and she lied on camera. Mm-hmm. And then she goes on Watch What Happens Live on Sunday and Andy grilled her. I give Andy credit because he grilled her ass. And you could see her stuttering, stumbling over her words, but still just kind of still sticking to the lies that Juan's lies that she believes, as well as defending why her and Giselle hid this true cheating scandal on the show, but then made up a fake one about Candace's husband, Chris. Just the nerve, the gumption and the
gall. Why you ain't keep that to yourself? I would have just, honestly, I would have just never said nothing because you look worse for saying that you knew all year and saying, looking Andy in his face, and I just want to make a meme of his face. Like, you are, either he's dumb for that lie or you dumb for believing him, because you really mean to tell me your husband makes a friend during COVID and she decides the first place she wants to go after being free for a year is to Maryland to see another guy, a football player. She loses her wallet. She don't have no mama. She don't have no daddy. She don't have no friends. The only person that could put a hotel in their name is your husband. He don't Cash App her. He don't Western Union her. He don't Zelle her, Venmo her. He goes to the hotel, puts the hotel in his name and leaves.
Right.
And you think, what? I would have kept that to myself. I would have just math, kept that to myself.
The math was not mathing at any point in the story. And she really, not only did she take that to her little measly ass Patreon, she went on Watch What Happened Live and said the same story. And to see her saying that next to Ebony, and Ebony sitting there trying to act like, you know, like, Ebony, you know, this is some bull.
Ebony definitely wanted to say it. She definitely wanted to be like, objection, y'all on the live.
Right, right. Because, girl, what are you talking about? And you really up here with the, if I'm a stick beside him was a person, that is Boren Dixon.
And then notice is the whole thing. If you're going to do that to me and embarrass me, I'm going to turn around and marry you. And I'm not going to get a prenup agreement with cheating for either one of us.
The infidelity clause. And now we know that he cheated on you again and you didn't do the infidelity clause that you shared, the one bit of your storyline with him that you shared, you didn't do. And now we know that he had cheated and that's why you even wanted the infidelity clause. Ciao.
It's just a delusion. And what I just don't, my thing is you should have kept that all to yourself because there's no way she's going to have a full-time position. She's going to get demoted or fired because no one cares. No one believes her. And I think it's more of a storyline seeing Giselle like drown without Robin.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's more of a storyline.
I just don't see. I mean, let's be real at this point, right? Because everyone with the whole like either fire Robin or demote her. I'm sorry. Robin turned it up this season. As much as people don't like her, she we've been talking about her. People, we could not stop talking about Robin while we were in Barbados. There were only like three or four of us that actually watched Potomac. The others that didn't were still so enthralled with the conversation because that's how juicy it sounds, right? So we got to give Robin credit for that. And now with it even coming out, she has so much leverage for season 8 because now it's like, I got to see her come back. I got to see her deal with all of this. You got to face the music.
I just want Candace to read her to filth.
Of course.
I want Karen to read her to filth because you made it seem. And this is what really pissed me off.
Go ahead.
Why? This is why Juan was so mad. This is why Juan is so mad because he's like, bitch, we done talked about this.
Right.
Why are you calling me? And he know the cameras is there.
Why she's calling you because she got to address this on camera. Like, I don't even get why he even acted like that, but it's because he was guilty and he was annoyed that he had to address it on camera. But you already know what the deal is. Apparently, you know what it is because that's what you told your little side chick, that it's more just for TV. Okay.
She looks so like, and then even her face and her body language.
It said everything. You knew that she was like, oh, yeah. And she admitted it. She was like, it was just like, yeah, I was just like, oh, now it's finally coming up. But she was just like, Karen had her wrong saying she was a blonde from Georgetown. Whatever, whatever. But when it comes to who needs to be demoted, Giselle Neck Bryant, okay? Yeah, You don't have a storyline. All you do season after season is get up in someone else's mess. Now that we know you help your friend cover up actual, factual cheating scandals, what is your role here? Then be Robin's friend while Robin takes the heat next season. Demote Giselle to a friend. She literally has zero storyline. Zero.
And she really missed like a big opportunity because I've been seeing a lot of like comments and feedback over, you know, I've had fibroids.
Oh, the fibroids.
I just had them. That could have been a huge
storyline. It got mentioned in the season finale. I couldn't believe it.
I would have took them to the doctors. I would have had x-rays. I would have talked about my hysterectomy.
Right.
You were just so busy trying to prove that.
Bring down somebody else's marriage.
You miserable, but misery loves company.
It's just miserable because now it's showing proof because even with the whole thing with Candace at the end where it was like, oh, how do you feel about the song? She was like, I don't even remember it. It's just like, damn, like this is really who you are. And I could just imagine how she was, and you know we're AKA, so it's like, I could just imagine how she was as a big sister.
Well, she was annoying. She was that big sister.
In her younger, prettier days. And even what people are saying is, she was a first lady. They're like, she is that first lady where it's like she probably talked about the whole entire congregation.
Yep.
And you are the first lady. You are supposed to be the person, the woman that people go to for love. And it's like, look at who you're, this is how you're representing. It's just like, but I'm sorry, I'm not letting Karen Huger off the hook. I love the Grand Dame. Actually, I love her hoodie. Remember, we bought them at the, that's actually—
It's really warm.
It's really, it's an amazing—
It's so warm.
I can't believe we got it for so cheap. Remember they had marked it down because nobody was buying. Girl, I'm so happy we got those hoodies because that is an amazing hoodie. I love it. I get
confidence. I love that hoodie. It's so soft.
But I'm sorry, the Grand Dame. Your stuff is now getting called out too much. The receipts are starting to add up and line up with things that were said about you years ago. And you can't keep doing the, I'm going to walk away. I'm not doing this. No, boo-boo. You got some skeletons in your closet, boo-boo. And they need to be addressed.
Yeah, I think the difference is, though, I think her and Ray are at an agreement. I don't think there's anything that Karen is or isn't doing. Allegedly, we got to use that word because ain't nobody suing us. Right. I don't think there's anything she's doing that Ray doesn't know about and vice versa. To whereas I think Juan is playing Robin for dumb. I don't think she's innocent, but I think this is more so of a, y'all ain't going to catch me because blue eyes, brown eyes, pink eyes, he ain't going to say nothing because they probably all got an agreement. To whereas Robin is really trying to my man us to death, and it's a joke. So that's why I'm like, I don't think everything I think Charisse is putting 20 on 10. I think, like, even if, I just don't think it's cute. Like, even if Karen was doing all of this stuff with some guy in the bathroom, why are you telling people on national? I just don't think that's cute. Like, Charisse don't have no storyline but talking about Karen. So I just don't like, I like Giselle and Ashley calling her out. Charisse, go home.
She looks so, so tired. Like, I really want her to work on herself. Like, and I'm not even saying that in a shady way. Like, you just look very, very tired. And there's no reason for you to look that tired. And no shade, but yeah, shade. Giselle is starting to look just as tired. Like, I'm not even, like Giselle looks tired. Like, Giselle, it's just like, you're all of that hate and negativity that you have in your body is showing on your face. It's showing on your legs. It's showing on your calves. It's showing on your neck. You need to release those demons, boo-boo, because they are aging you and it's not gracefully.
Yep. Very. It's not at all. And hate is not attractive, you know? Let's not go so hard to hate on the things we don't know. Like, I feel like there could be actual drama, but y'all are just so gung-ho about finding things out. The only time that's interesting to me is this whole, like, Jacqueline and Mia situation. I do want to know Jacqueline's receipts. I do Jacqueline. I would love to know her story.
I can't wait.
I want them to bring Jacqueline back as a friend of Candace. Because I heard they're really cool now. Justice for Jacqueline. I am starting that hashtag because I liked her. I believe her. I 100% agree that Mia is doing whatever she can to be a Nene, to be a Karen. I think Mia, the one thing I don't like about Mia is that you try too hard. I hate housewives who try too hard because it never hits. Like, you got to just be who you are. I feel like Wendy, her first season was nervous, but now she's coming into her own. Like, she's classy, but she will read a bitch down. Right. Mia wants to have too many viral sounds. And this is why I can't wait to put it at a reunion, because I really feel like Mia gets called out on her lies. Because Candace says, and Watch What Happens Live, everybody was laughing at Mia. You got to just stop trying so hard. Since you either got it or you don't. You either got it or you don't. And I don't think she got it.
I can't wait. I really can't wait. And that's why I haven't been against Mia being on the show, because we are going to see her. We're going to see her meet her demise. I just know it's going to happen. And I just want to be able to enjoy it. So those are our hot topics. And as it closed out, you saw we just dragged the Housewives of Potomac. And that's just a perfect segue into our piss poor performance.
People got to get it together, y'all. Okay. My piss poor performance is easy. It's just Robin's delusion. It's a delusion. Like, that's not even Robin. It's her delusion. And, like, did you call? Because if it's me, if it's Tanae and my partner is saying this, give me that girl number. Give me the number. Give me the email. Give me the FaceTime. I'm correcting everything. And if I know if you don't want to do that for me and I got to listen to your story, girl, you just delusional. All right, that's all I got to say. That's my piss poor performance, because she delusional.
She is delusional, like D to delusional. Somebody said you knew it was an issue when they named their kids after Jay-Z. I didn't know, but apparently they, Robin had admitted or revealed that they named Corey and Carter after Jay-Z. So,
well, Sean, why Corey? I don't get it.
His name is Sean Corey Carter, Jay-Z's name.
Wow.
Yes. Yes. So, okay, 444, all in the door. Okay. My piss poor performance goes to two members of the Love and Marriage DC. Okay. I'm going to start with Mr. Jamie. What's their last name? The Tylers.
Big Jamie. Big Jamie, Jamie the daddy.
Big Jamie for his ignorance, for calling his son a bum on national television when his son is opening up about his mental health struggles and saying that he wants to take his life. When his group of friends are trying to tell him to take his son's comments seriously, and Jamie just sounds like so many ignorant men out here are just family members who aren't taking people's cries for help seriously and saying, oh, he just wants attention. I've been dealing with this since he was 16. He just wants attention. He's lazy. He don't want to do nothing with his life. Granted, all of that might be true. And even as a parent, you could feel that way. But when your son is somebody, regardless, and especially your son, is sitting there telling you that they are having thoughts of taking their life, you don't take that lightly, especially right. if that's your baby. And I don't care how old he is, that's still your baby. And all you are showing us, Jamie, is how little Jamie got like that. Y'all are the
I was
same.
Just gonna say, does he not know he's a result of his, like, if he a bum, you raised a bum.
On top of the fact, right, because later in the episode, because you know he's retired now, and Arena is talking about how she got to do everything around the house, and he's just sitting there just looking comfortable. But you want to talk about your son being lazy and not wanting to do nothing? What, you thought just because you was a cop and you brought was the breadwinner that you don't have to support the household and just sometimes wash the dishes, you know what I'm saying, or even put your dishes in the sink, just little things for the household, you believe that you don't have to do that? And then now when it's judge your son, where he's probably just mimicking what he saw you do when you was home from work.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. Listen, we either do the same as our parents or we do the opposite of our parents. Okay. So if he's a bum.
Ooh, okay. And then now I wanted to save this drag because this one infuriated me. Winter, okay? Winter, whatever. I'm not even going to get into that yet. So Winter in season one barely had a storyline. Her storyline was she's divorcing this man that she married mad fast out of nowhere, wrote a book. I don't even remember her storyline because that's how weak and irrelevant it was. But she was kind of clinging on to the ladies that actually are in these marriages and have storylines and at that time had ties to Monique Samuels. Winter actually was Monique Samuels' friends from years before, but overall still she wasn't married. When it came to the essence of what Love and Marriage represents, Carlos King's franchise, Winter didn't represent that. She wasn't married. She was going through like a divorce. So now season two, she comes back, but again, she kind of burnt her bridges. Monique is off the show. She had burnt her bridges with Ashley and Arena. So it's like, what are her ties to the show? So Winter's way of returning on the show as a friend is to bring up these receipts that she brought up in the season one reunion that she had about the Tylers. So Arena's like, all right, I'm going to meet with her to find out what these receipts are. These receipts was somebody reaching out to her via DM to say, Jamie and Arena didn't even take care of Jason, their son that is blind. They act like they took care of him for the show, but they had other people. They were shipping him off as a child. First of all, anybody in their right mind, if you received a DM like that, you would like anyone in their right mind wouldn't entertain it. Wouldn't entertain it, right? Because it's like, who in their right mind would even send that as a DM? Even if it is somebody that knows them personally, it's probably somebody that needed to be out of their life, because it's just like, why would you just tell somebody that? Or why would you even just say that about somebody that you might have had a relationship with? And just even knowing the fact, like, you're talking about somebody's child and somebody's child that is disabled. It's just like, it's so wrong and low on so many levels. So the fact that Winter not only entertained this DM, but held on to it and brought it up on the show as like her way of, these are the receipts you got on it. It was so disgusting to me. I honestly was disappointed that they even shot it. and allowed it to air on the show. It had no purpose. It was completely irrelevant. I commend Arena for at least, you know, she did curse Winter out a bit, but like she deserved it.
She deserved
it. Yeah, but she kept it cool though. You know, if it was me, I would have whooped her ass.
Yeah.
I'm going to whoop your ass. But honestly, that's even giving Winter more than what she deserves. Clearly, you're looking for a moment. Okay, so when I said this on Twitter, somebody was like, oh, she does have a storyline this season. She's dating somebody. We'll see. I don't care. Yeah. I don't give a shit who she's dating. She came on here about some dumbass receipts about somebody's child who is visually impaired. Yeah. What the hell is wrong with you? You low-life ass, okay. Raggedy ass. You know what I'm saying? It's like that really pissed me off. So she got the pissiest, piss poor performance. She could take her beautiful high cheekbones and shove them up her ass.
All right, you could take that.
And why is it acceptable to make a song called Gutter Barbie?
Oh, right, girl.
That's just not even cute.
You're coming. She's so desperate. You're so desperate for a moment right now. And it's like, you're coming off so lame. Like, that's not, no, you're not, like, you're not even being authentically a villain. Like, you coming off, you like, it's so forced. It's not you. I'm like, I'm not here for it. I, you know, again, it's only episode 3, so I'll see if she's able to redeem herself over the course of the season. But I highly doubt it because she gave us nothing season 1. Like, you're just trying to be the messy bone collector. Like, girl, you're going to get punched in the face.
I will never understand why certain women on these reality shows, they have two jobs. They either like OD and do too much or they have nothing going on. Yep. This is why I always have loved me a Candy. Candy can be like in it, but she doesn't go below the belt. I think there's a certain thing. You probably got a lot of other DMs about Irina and Ashley. Mm-hmm. Why did you have to use that one about
that one?
Son?
What?
I couldn't believe it.
I was just like, there's no way. Like, there's no way that this is what she really, and they recorded this and put it in the episode. Like, what?
Yeah.
Anywho, but that was our piss poor performance.
Let's piss all over them. Piss. The delusion and the intrusion of the confusion.
Come on, spoken word. All right. So now into our yes segment. I have no one this week. Tanea, who do you have?
I just want to give a shout out to LeBron James. Okay. He is the number one scorer. And I know it's, you know, NBA. I like basketball. I only really like the playoffs. And I watch like the highlights on YouTube. Because before the playoffs, I'm bored. I like All-Star Game. I like my YouTube highlights of the playoffs. And then that's it. But he is the number one like leading scorer in the NBA. He's a black man. He has a beautiful black family. And he's your birthday twin. So yes, my yes is to LeBron James. Ooh, but we got to do a no to that house party movie he tried to do because I didn't watch it yet, but I heard it's so bad. We need to watch it to see how bad it was. You saw it?
It's horrible. It's horrible. I left.
You got a screening to see it?
I went to the screening. I wasn't going to pay to see it. I left the theater early because I was like, I was like, okay, I got things to do and this is wasting my time.
Wait, no. Did you get to the dance sequence or you left before that?
The horrible dance sequence? No, I saw it.
Oh no.
They did them no justice. What do you like? It was horrible. First of all, let's just talk about the essence of House Party, right? It's two young people in school throwing a house party. Okay. Even House Party 2, it got a little corny, but at least they were in college. Okay.
Yes.
You took away that essence. At least keep that essence. Also, too, just a question. Where was the original House Party located? What city were they in?
I want to say
you don't know.
Oh, we don't.
It didn't matter.
It didn't matter because it was a house party.
Exactly. It was just about a house party in the suburbs. No, what they do in this new one, it's in LA. Wrong decision. It's two house cleaners who are cleaning LeBron James' house and he's out of town and they decide to get some money. They're going to throw a house party. And because it's in corny ass, infatuated with fame ass LA, the people that come out to this house party are a bunch of influencers, celebrities, wannabe scenes. There's no true essence of what you get in a real house party, right? When your parents are out of town and you're just trying to have some fun with your friends, which is what they should have kept the essence of. But instead, it's filled with influencers and their forced little dance sequences. And even the party didn't even look like a party. It looks like a group of extras being forced to dance for 10 minutes to get this shot. It just, the jokes weren't landing. Remember, I'm in a screening, right? So it's like, you could tell they're wanting to see like, oh, did the jokes land? How is the audience going to react? People weren't even getting the jokes. The only one who kind of laugh was one of the three. Remember, you know, the three guys that are supposed to be the little bullies.
Oh yeah.
That was a fail. But one of them, every time when he would describe what he was going to do to someone, he just would get real kind of elaborate with the violence. That was the only kind of funny thing to me throughout the film. It just wasn't funny. It didn't resonate the way like culturally stamping it resonated in the original. And then the fact that Kid and Play was in this, I'm just like, they just had to get that check because they knew
hell
that.
Oh yeah. And I heard some TikTok tea that Kid Cudi was at the end that you did not see. He was the best part, but he was added like,
I did see it
a week before. Like somebody said the highlight of the movie was Kid Cudi, and he literally was added on the cutting room floor. Like, we need something else. Let's call Kid Cudi and see what he's doing.
Even because I was wondering, like, how is Mark Cuban in the movie? Like, that scene where Mark Cuban made the guest appearance, it's very weird. I don't want to spoil it, but it's just like, what the hell does this have to do with House Party? How are you guys in a whole cult party right now, an Illuminati party? It's just weird. It doesn't make any sense. It wasn't funny. And at this point now, LeBron James ruined Space Jam. He ruined House Party. LeBron.
Yeah, maybe he should stay away from TV.
No, just make something original. Stop trying to do reboot.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're rebooting them horribly. Just make an original film, please.
I don't think everything should be a reboot, but can I tell you the reboot I'm excited to see that I just saw the trailer for? White Man Can't Jump. I think that's going to be a hit.
Oh, yeah, that one will probably be funny.
I think it's going to be a hit. I think Jack Harlow is going to be an actor that's going to sneak up on us.
I think so because I don't see the music thing lasting for him for too long. And I can see him just
And he's really funny. He's really funny. He was on SNL. He genuinely made me laugh. I really think he's about to come up on some. Who was a good
like a personality and an actor?
Yeah. Who was a good rapper that's now an actor?
Ludacris.
Yes. Boom. Right. Boom. Ludacris can rap. Jack Harlow can rap.
Yeah.
But I will see if a movie's with Ludacris, I respect him as a Ludacris Chris Bridges.
You know? Exactly. Like Ludacris can actually deliver on a role. So yes. Mm. Okay.
Well, we only like LeBron this week. So.
Right. So LeBron's the only person we like. So now we are going to just get into our Drag Race deep dive.
Yeah. So I feel like the drama is coming. And even though it's like an hour episode, like I still like the drama. I can't wait for them to give me my hour and 30 minutes back.
Oh my gosh. That was what I was going to say, because it's so hard to take in the runway looks. It's so fast.
It's so like you have to... Excuse me. You have to pause them and be like, what? Like who? It's 12 of them.
Yo, it's so crazy. I mean, I know as more people go home, we'll get some time, but I'm sorry, MTV. I'm sure you decided to switch the show over. We were fine with it on VH1 and giving us our 90 minutes. If you're going to put the show on MTV and transition it over to your audience, at least give it a decent amount of time for the fans to indulge in it the way that we're known to, as well as new viewers able to understand its relevance and its impact in fashion and comedy and acting and everything that Drag Race has to offer. Because you're giving that time to the damn challenge, okay? I watch the challenge week after week with these extended episodes, an extended episode of the challenge. And it's just an extended of us seeing Tori talk to Jordan. It's like, I didn't need to extend it of this shit. Just get me to the damn finale, please. Okay. But you're going to give 90 minutes to the challenge in that Drag Race. Okay. So justice for Drag Race, extra 30 minutes. Justice for Drag Race, extra 30 minutes.
Please. I just really live for Sasha Colby. I followed her. She's my mom. I love how she said, it's not that we don't want country, it's that you think that you're gonna just tell me that I'm gonna just get it. Like, who are you?
And oh my gosh, and they were the best. They did the best. Like,
metal was lit.
They were the best. The country group was the best, and then second was rock, which I was impressed that they even delivered on that because they were like struggling in the coming up with it. But honestly, the country was the best one. Everyone delivered their verse. So I was gonna say my faves right now are Lux New Orleans London. Honestly, I'm so impressed with Lux. She's so young. She's only 21.
Yeah.
And she came in with the delusional, like, I'm going to win. And it's like, of course, it's like, oh, girl, please. But no, like, she has the uniqueness, nerve, and talent. And yeah. She's so early on, it's just like, so to see what she's doing already so early on, it's like, girl, like, you are fierce. Like, you are it. So I'm rooting for her. Sasha Colby has totally won me over. I see, remember at the start of the season where she was like, yeah, I couldn't let Carrie Colby be more famous than me. Or be the famous Colby. And it's learning more about Sasha Colby, it's like, yes, girl, because like, you are the mother. Like, she's authentically herself. She's extremely funny. She's talented. She goes forward in challenges. She brings it on the runway. She is the triple threat. And that is not what we saw with Carrie Colby. Carrie Colby.
Yes, agreed. Yes. She's definitely going to make it to top five, if not top three.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. As well as Mistress Isabel Brooks. Like, she is just it. I'm telling you.
I love her. I love her.
She is painting the fuck out of her face. She's coming out with these looks. She's serving it in all of the competitions and the challenges. So those are my three right now. Lux, Sasha, and Mistress.
I love them. I love, you know what, with Malaysia, first of all, I do not think she should have been that top in that design challenge. Shit was ugly.
She was like, let me know if y'all want me to make stuff for y'all.
That is, I think Malaysia just might be, you know, I don't know. She just don't seem like she having fun or,
yeah, I don't know. She seems like she's angry. She's starting to fizzle out.
She seemed kind of angry. I love me some Robin Fierce. So like, I get what they were saying because she wasn't giving me. I just like her energy, but I also get like she wasn't giving me much at all. Right. I want to kill everybody who made all of Jax's hair and clothes. I never liked Jax. Any of Jax's weaves. I just feel like all her hair. She's very small, and I feel like everything she wears is like this long ass, thick ass, like wig braids. I just hate everything.
There is just no taste. I see no taste in anything that she puts on the runway. But she's the worst. But I'm sorry, I gotta get into Marsha's ass. And she is just getting by. Now, granted, she's able to do decently in challenges, but she is just getting by on basic. I know Rue is getting tired because Rue is getting in her ass every
that makeup. Runway. Yep.
Every runway, Rue is getting in her ass. Like, you know, whatever you're doing, can you tell Marsha to do more of it? It's just like,
and
Marsha,
the fact that she has to keep saying that. Like, exactly. What about Marsha?
But it's like, Marsha is just very, very basic. And at the same time, to see, you know, I be in the Twitter verses. And so to see that. It was during that week where Marsha and Mistress were kind of arguing over who was in second place. And because of that argument during Untucked, out of nowhere, like, Mistress just started kind of getting like attacked by like fans and even kind of racist fans. And her Instagram page got deactivated. Crazy. And a similar thing happened with Lux when Lux kind of got into it with our girl. She's an all-star winner.
Trinity.
Yes. And so we're seeing that there's a lot of, like, the fans of drag racing get pretty racist pretty easy. And that's just crazy to me. Like, this is RuPaul's Drag Race.
Hello.
Black RuPaul's Drag Race. Like, and it's a group of like gay people. Like, what are you talking about? Like, how do you have the nerve to discriminate on anybody in this space? Like, what the hell is wrong with you?
And I listened to Sibling Watchery with Bob and Monet Exchange, and they mm-hmm. talk about it a lot. They're like, there's drag race friends and then there's the racist drag race friends, mm-hmm. and it's insane because it doesn't make sense, because it's like, you know, the person who owns this
right, like,
black, so you loving all the white queens, but not, it don't, you gotta make it make sense. I do think that Marsha is, her makeup and like her drag is very simple.
Yes.
Like, very just like matter of fact, like the whole scary like runway, and she just wanted to be a dentist,
right? And it's just like that. It's so corny. And if you're listening to what Rue is saying to her week after week, there ain't no way Marsha was ever in nobody's second place, especially not based off of no runway looks. Cut it out. So how dare you? But y'all better cut that racist stuff out. Like, this is just not it. This is not the place for it. I just don't know why it happens. So that's my little only rant about Drag Race. Did you have anything else, Bessie, that you wanted to add?
I'm just proud of Spice. I thought she would have literally left as soon as her twin left. Right. So I'm just proud that she didn't quit. So that's it. I'm proud of you, Spice. Now you will be the more famous twin by possible elimination because you lasted at least 2 weeks longer. Yes. We don't know what's happening in the next episode, but you made it longer than Sugar. So now I know the difference.
And with that being said, let's get to our positivity before we close on out. Do you have a positive quote, best friend?
Yes, and I want to ask the people of America, why are you so much harder on yourself than you are on anyone else? Assert yourself by asking for what you want or saying no clearly. That's great.
I heard that. And on yours? On my end, I just want everyone to know, don't adapt to the energy in the room. Influence the energy in the room.
That's a boss bitch quote right there.
Okay. And on that note, our slogan goes,
love, abundance, and bundles. Yes. Bye, guys. Episode 5 is done.
Yay.